Oh my goodness, where to begin, where to start? So much to talk about. Money in the Bank just around the corner. We're going to talk about that. The debacle that was TNA Impact this past week. And oh my goodness, so much more. Hey, there's a new in-your-face, new breed champion. We're going to talk about that. So much more on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. Don't go anywhere. Your excursion into the truth starts right now.
The Pro Wrestling Rewind.
I have no one to envy. I envy you having me to envy.
I really don't care if you agree with me or not. This is the truth.
That's called the power, brother.
Your guiding light through the murkiness of bad storylines and poor creative decisions. I'm back, the power. Andy Knowles, Pro Wrestling's Truth Detector, the intellectual savior of the PIV and the SNS Radio Network. Good evening, my friends, pro wrestling fans and conspiracy theorists all across the seven continents. Back one more time. I'll tell you, I am in a far better mood. It's the opposite this week. Now that I've had a week, craziness in Orlando notwithstanding, now that I've had a week to sort of just get myself squared away, I am in a much better mood. I promise, ladies and gentlemen, I promise to give you a much better product tonight than last week. Or basically last week, I just phoned it in. Last week, I had probably one of the worst programs in the history of the Pro Wrestling Rewind since we started this program in 2003. In the 13 years on and off I've been doing this show, that was by far last week, I think, the worst program we've had. Of course, joining us, as always, Tony Mirabella. Good evening, sir.
Yeah, why don't we just replay the intro about 16 times and post that and not even talk, because that's what TNA did last night.
You know, TNA, you want to talk about getting your money's worth from your advertising dollar. TNA did just that this past week. Amazing. If you want to start on TNA, we can start on TNA. For those of you that missed it, and if you missed it, you saved yourself about an hour and 50 minutes of repeated nonstop commercials and promos. Pop television, apparently, that's what TNA is saying. Pop television is coming on and saying there was an issue with the broadcast, whereby the main broadcast, the main program, didn't happen. They just kept on airing spots.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. A while back, when I was doing Get in the Zone every week, one of our listeners, Maze, said that TNA should be named... No, I think JJ said it should be called Sad Wrestling, and then Maze said it should be for Sorry Ass Direction. I'm going to rename TNA. It is now, from this week forward, known as Total Nonstop Advertisements.
I would absolutely have no problem with that, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that would feel the exact same way. This was a debacle. This was an absolute broadcasting debacle and nightmare. By the way, are my levels okay? Are you hearing me fine?
You sound fine to me.
Okay,
do I sound
good.
Fine
no,
to you?
No, you sound perfectly fine. We're just checking just a little on-the-fly editing here. So TNA is supposed to come in, they start their beginning promo, and then all of a sudden the program starts looping into commercials, and then they get to what we think is the beginning of the program, and then it falls out again. So somebody, it was an hour, at least an hour and 50 minutes, an hour and 45 minutes before what was pop commercials of the programming. So you got pop television commercials of pop programming for 18 straight minutes. TNA went on Twitter and said they're claiming, and this came from WrestleView, they're claiming that it was an issue with Master Control, meaning the issue was with pop. So they go to the ring for what was going to be the first match, which was going to be Jeff Hardy and Eli Drake. But then they cut right back to the same, they went right back to the same ads. Over and over and over again. Then after that, it goes back, you see Bobby Lashley coming to the ring, and then it went back to the pop ads again. If you're trying to make yourself serious, you already have a bad reputation. You already have a reputation which is hanging by a thread. For this to happen to TNA is beyond atrocious. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think they can come back from this. They released a statement on Twitter taking the blame for the issues and then claiming they would air the entire episode when the issues were finally corrected. Now, I've been watching wrestling for a long, long time. Never in my teenage or adult life have I ever seen a broadcast wrestling program get delayed 1 hour and 50 minutes before they actually get to the program. It was just unbelievable. And for what should have been a fantastic, because basically what they had is it was like a Night of Champions. They had all the recognized men's championships in TNA on the line. And for those of you who didn't stick around after an hour and 50 minutes of pop promotion, you had the Global Legends Television King of the Mountain Championship. Eli Drake, the champion, retained, although Jeff Hardy did win by disqualification. Eli Drake is still the champion. You had Eddie Edwards defeating Trevor Lee to retain the X Division championship. DK is still the TNA World Tag Team Champions in a match where they defeated Shira Grado, the Tribunal, and the Bromans. And then, of course, Lashley defended the TNA World Heavyweight Championship against Drew McIntosh. So what should have been...
Did you just say Drew McIntosh?
I did, yes. So what should have been... This is exclusive here on the Rewind. We did manage to get the pop executives when they were deciding whether or not they were just going to air this or if they were just going to go and they were cut it. We managed to get this. Go ahead, cut one, hit it.
There are only bad options. It's about finding the best one.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
So they had no other choice. Did pop, they had to air this. It was the best bad idea that they had was to suck it up, man up, and go a minute 50 into this. T, your thoughts?
But Drew McIntosh, that was great. I think you meant McIntyre.
It's McIntosh now. He's so irrelevant. It doesn't matter what your name is. It doesn't matter anymore because he's so irrelevant.
Yeah, but here's what's better, okay? And look, I could believe this was on pop, but what was even worse than this was over the weekend, TNA had a pay-per-view called Slammiversary. And according to PW Insider, TNA Chief Financial Officer and Chief Operating Officer Dean Broadhead posted on his personal Facebook page this weekend about how he had to secure, quote, interim financing, unquote, with just 12 hours to spare for TNA's, quote, production trucks to roll, unquote, for Sunday's Slammiversary pay-per-view.
Now, who do you think he got the money from? Now, here, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to think about this. You can't just go walking into the bank.
The mafia?
Okay, you don't go walking into the bank saying, hey, I need however, $50,000, $75,000, whatever it is. You can't turn something like, and believe me, ladies and gentlemen, I know, you can't turn something like that around inside of a couple hours. It just doesn't happen, especially with TNA Financial. I'll tell you right now, I would not want to be the banker signing that deal. I would not. I'd be wanting 2 years of taxes. I would be wanting to see what the 2 years of, give me 2 years of financial, give me your profit and loss, give me your income statement, your balance sheet from the beginning of the year. I want to see some numbers. Show me that you're going to make some money before I put this online. He went down to the local pawn shop, got Big Guido there on the side of the road, and basically put himself up for what? How many points you think he got on this deal to get the $50,000 to $75,000 to get the trucks rolling? I'm telling you right now, if I'm that guy, I'm running scared because he knows he's going to be at least 2 months behind getting paid from Dixie Carter. He's going to be owing Big Guido the money. Big Guido going to be coming around with a baseball bat and a couple of his boys wanting to break some kneecaps. You know, 50 points or whatever he got charged to get this $50,000, $75,000. Don't tell me he's not in deep for this. Don't tell me he's not in deep.
Well, he had talked about how he wanted to just retire at this point, but you know what? He didn't want to do that because he didn't want to retire leaving this type of legacy, and I can understand that. And this guy, it doesn't sound like it's his fault. It sounds like he did what he had to do to keep this company alive. And I mean, at this point, here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. This is how America freaking works, okay?
America!
If you can't make enough money to pay your employees, your company has failed. Andy knows this. Andy, yeah. I know the field you work in. You know this. If a company is spending more money than it's making, doesn't it mean it failed?
They fundamentally failed. They've absolutely fundamentally failed. Yes. As somebody in my day job that can speak to the lending of money. Never, ever would I lend money to a TNA promotion. You know, I'm sitting back, I'm thinking to myself, here's Dixie Carter, ladies and gentlemen, knowing that Pop hasn't got, that they haven't got this thing going. Here's Dixie Carter right here, ladies and gentlemen.
And the hits just keep on coming.
It gets better and better for TNA every week. You gotta love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's sad. And I mean, look, like I said, the broadcast fiasco from last night, yeah, things happen. And I tend to believe it really was probably on Pop's side of it. I believe that. If that was the only thing that happened, I would say, okay, you know, crap happens. That's not the word I wanted to use, but we don't have Paige right now, so I can't use that word. But
this
crap happens, okay?
And this is all bullshit.
There you go. But, when you've got a guy, and he said he had to make like 90 phone calls on his personal phone.
Because nobody would lend him the money. He's on the phone saying, yo, man, like we got this show tonight, man. And you know, we need like $50,000, man. You think you can like hook me up until like tomorrow? And he's got 89 people hung up the phone on him. And number 90 was probably drunk or high or something, had some substance in him that wouldn't allow him to think, oh, yeah, man, hey, man, here's my debit card. Just go ahead, put it on my credit card, and you're all good. So 89 people hung up on him, and the 90th person was probably so wasted out of his gourd, and it's just now realizing that he's out $75,000.
Yeah, imagine waking up Monday morning, like the night before, you were, oh yeah, I'll give you $80,000, which is, it was probably more than 80 grand. I don't have the amount in front of me that they actually needed.
What do they need? Like money for gas? It's like what they had to put. Money.
No, they had to pay their production. I think, and this is, and here, ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe this is true. Oh. Okay, wait a minute, Andy, hold up. I don't believe this is true. But there are a lot of people on the internet who are jokingly saying that the reason the Pop broadcast, the TNA, was screwed up last night is because the production people were revolting for not getting paid.
Do you blame them? They're 2 months behind on their paychecks. I would have been the exact same way. And then when it went, ladies and gentlemen, and then when they finally, when the 90th caller picked up and said that he was going to loan them the money, you could just hear everybody in the production truck. It was fantastic.
Yay.
They live.
Oh, we'll be able to pay our rent this month.
They live. They live to broadcast another day.
You know, man. Look, it's the whole deal is. Am I still on?
Yeah, you're still on. Go ahead.
I love this new Skype. This new Skype works beautifully. The deal is, I mean, that to me is the real nail in the coffin there. When you've got to have your guy call up like a cheap whore 24 hours before your pay-per-view and secure money from Don Vito.
Oh, God.
I mean, so, look, someone's legs are going to get broken in TNA.
Absolutely. Okay? Here's the phone call. Here it comes.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
That's what Big Guido's coming. Call 911, baby.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of that scene. Did you ever see the movie Armageddon?
Yes, I have.
Do you remember when, oh, the crazy guy, the sex fiend, went and borrowed like $100,000 from this mafiosa because he thought he was going to die in space?
He goes and he spends it all on the hookers and the, or not the hookers, he spends it all on the dancers. And there's a blonde French dancer that he ends up falling for. And he's just throwing the money around. He doesn't care. He doesn't even count it. The guy's like, "You want to count that money? Make sure it's on there." Oh no! It's all right. It don't matter. He thought he was gonna die out of space.
I'm giving you this with 75% interest, and if you don't pay it back, I forget what he said he's gonna do. And then I love when they survive and they're on their way back to Earth, and he goes, "You think you've got it bad? I owe $100,000 to a badass loan shark named Vito or someone. That's TNA."
Oh, sponsor this half hour, Evil Seed Sauces. Treat your meat to the best barbecue sauce available. Pat McGill and Karen are actually moving back home. They've had it with Florida, apparently. And I've been speaking to Pat, and they're moving operations back to upstate New York. And so Evil Seed Sauces on the move. Check them out on Facebook. You can wish them well. You can get you're still going to be able to get your Evil Seed Sauce fix. Just go right on Facebook. They've got everything that they have right there for you. You can PM Pat McGill, ask him any question you want about the sauces, the Cirque du Noir, the Big Bacon Barbecue. So much to choose from. Treat your meat to the best sauces available. Evil Seed Sauces on Facebook and on Twitter. Evil Seed Sauce Company. I shouldn't get on TNA too bad, but I just can't help it. It's become such a joke. Gail Kim, though, and I thought this was on a more serious note. I thought this was well deserved. Gail Kim announced to the fledgling TNA. You know what we need is the WWE's Hall of Fame music. Do you think you can get that for next week? Get me the WWE's Hall of Fame music. We'll play it whenever somebody announces for TNA. We'll play it in the background. Gail Kim has been announced to the TNA Hall of Fame, joining the likes of Sting and referee, what was it, Dave Hebner or Earl Hebner? Which Hebner is it?
I don't remember. And wasn't it also Kurt Angle?
Is Kurt Angle in there too? That's how insignificant this Hall of Fame is. And I don't even know who it is.
Is it Jarrett? Yeah, Jarrett's in there too, right?
It's so irrelevant, I don't even know.
It's not a real Hall of Fame.
Not like the WWE, who doesn't really have a building either. But we asked Paige what she thought of the TNA Hall of Fame. She was very upfront with it.
This sucks. And this is all bullshit.
If you're into that kind of thing... But I digress.
See, my deal is, but you know what? In a way, though, WWE, I thought, kind of did Gail Kim wrong. Because for those of you who don't know, she had left TNA. She went back to WWE. And they had her jobbing out to the point where she just didn't care. Went back to TNA. And I will say, some of the matches matches that Gail Kim had in TNA with Awesome Kong are some of my favorite women's matches in history. I'll give TNA that.
Yeah, one, she was Gail Kim was one of the few women's wrestlers that could go toe-to-toe with Awesome Kong. And unlike a lot of other women's wrestlers that faced Kong, when you faced Kong, you were almost guaranteed a defeat. And Gail Kim was one of the few women that found a way to beat Kong and beat her effectively and convincingly. And when she beat Kong, it wasn't an upset. It was a defeat. She was one of the few people that could do it and do it properly.
Yeah, and I mean, she, you know, that whole knockouts division, and Gail is someone who, believe me, doesn't need any of this because she's married to, like, I think she's still married to, like, this multimillionaire celebrity chef.
Oh, yeah, she's all set. She's set for life. She's all, it's perfectly fine.
I mean, it, look, I'm cool with it. I don't really care. I mean, congratulations. I'm, you know, I almost think that someone, though, like a Velvet Sky or an Awesome Kong would have been more appropriate. Look, that's just my opinion, folks. And that is not to say that Gail Kim does not deserve this. Please, please don't misunderstand me. But the first, I believe the first woman ever inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame, which, again, the Hall of Fame doesn't mean anything. But the first woman, I think, probably should have been Kong or Velvet Sky, because those are ones who really got their start, got their launch in TNA. Not that Gail Kim didn't, but I don't know. I'm a little eh about this choice, but at the end of the day, it's not a real Hall of Fame, so who cares?
We got a couple haters. Couple haters.
20 minutes after the hour here, Pro Wrestling Rewind on the SNS PIB Radio Network. Still a lot more to come tonight. There is a pay-per-view just around the corner, but hey, getting back on some of the latest news, Bleacher Report is reporting that Adam Rose's domestic violence case has been dropped. Bleacher Report coming out with this here just a couple days ago. They had reported that the domestic violence case had been dropped this past Tuesday. According to TMZ, prosecuting attorneys dropped the case after he proved he's getting professional help for his marital issues. Last month, Mike Johnson of PWInsider.com, Rose had been arrested, or it was reported by Mike Johnson that Rose had been arrested in Hillsborough County, Florida, on charges of tampering with a witness and domestic battery. TMZ Sports reported on May 12th that a Hillsborough County judge released Rose on a $1,000 bond after his wife begged the judge to give her husband a break and to undergo counseling once a week before his next court date in June. At the time of Rose's arrest, he was already serving a 60-day suspension in the WWE for violating the wellness program. He contested the suspension by posting a doctor's note on Twitter. Later, the WWE extended his suspension indefinitely after his arrest, citing a zero-tolerance policy for domestic violence. On May 23rd, the WWE announced that it had released Adam Rose at his request. TMZ Sports noted that the case was being dropped and it is now officially closed. Raymond Lepan, Rose's real name, had worked with the WWE from 2010 to 2016, most notably in NXT. So what do you do now if you're Rose?
Well, I mean, look, if the wife who is the quote-unquote victim here is the one saying, look, please don't, I'm thinking this was just a problem between the two of them. I don't think it was a case where, like, he beat her up. I think they're having a very hard time, which sometimes married couples have hard times, especially with the fact that they have a special needs child. And I said this before, it was a case where I think things got a little out of hand. He was a little too stressed out. If you're Adam Rose, I would go to the indies for a while. I understand he's got this, he wants to do this party gimmick, but do it a little less PG, a little more darker, a little more creepier. And I think he could do that. If I were Adam Rose, I'd go indies, Japan, somewhere for a couple years and then see how it goes. And maybe one day he'll be back in the WWE. But if I were him, I would take it really slow. And I wish him the best of luck. It sounds like this was something that got resolved. And I hope he behaves himself. You know, don't you can't. You cannot, no matter how bad, and I'm not married, but no matter how bad things get, you don't put your hands on a woman, you don't put your hands on your spouse, and you know, a female, women, you shouldn't be putting your hands on your man, unless it's, you know, in bed. Other than that...
Oh, behave. Yeah.
Exactly. People shouldn't be putting their hands on each other. I wish him the best of luck. I hope I don't hear about him in the news anymore. I hope this gets straightened out and he can have a little success on the indies.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
Gawker has filed for bankruptcy and will be put up for auction. Of course, the move comes right after the $140 million Hulk Hogan judgment ruled to stand. The auction to begin with a bid from publisher Ziff is his name. You think Ziggler or something. You got Ziff Davis. Gawker Media Group went on the auction block last Friday after filing for bankruptcy when a Florida judge upheld the $140 million jury judgment against it in a costly legal battle with Hulk Hogan. The company plans to sell its assets in bankruptcy court. It has received an opening bid of $90 million from the digital media and magazine publisher Ziff Davis.
Yeah, but I'm also hearing that they're still in appeal and might still get it overturned.
The chances of that happening are just are so remote. I just don't see it. Look, Hogan is you want to talk about born back hard. Hulk Hogan is back from the dead,
brother. I'm back, brother. You can't stop me, brother.
Hey, maybe that's who TNA contacted. They knew Hogan had all that money.
There you go. There, that's perfect. That had to be what it is. They called up Hogan, the 90th call. Hulk Hogan answered the 90th call and gave TNA the money.
You never know, man. It just the way it is. But you know what? I hope it's not overturned. I'm fully with Hogan on this one.
Oh, I got to give you that one. I got to give it to you. Yeah. Tony Mirabella, ladies and gentlemen. Tony Mirabella. Thank you. Oh, stop. No. It's for you, Tony. It's all for you. That was fantastic.
Well, thank you. I mean, I'm like, I could just imagine, you know, hello, brother. Yeah, Hulk. You know, I know you left TNA and things didn't work out that good, but you know, we need like, you know, $1 million to make this pay-per-view happen. Well, you know something, brother. I've got a little money laying around from Gawker, brother, and who knows what Hogan will get in return. Could we maybe see, I don't know, Hulk? I want to see Hulk Hogan versus Dixie Carter. That's a match I would pay $50 to see.
They're all going to end up on their bank. The judge approving Gawker's bankruptcy loan, a U.S. bankruptcy judge on Wednesday had approved Gawker Media's request to borrow $22 million from an affiliate of buyout firm Cerberus Capital Management LP to help fund the online publisher through its court-supervised auction. The Gossip News website owner facing the crippling court ruling to pay $140 million to former professional wrestler Hulk Hogan over the publication of excerpts from the sex tape needed the money to stay in business as it seeked to sell itself in bankruptcy. Now, Gawker filing for bankruptcy with the agreement from Ziff Davis to buy it for $90 million, setting the floor for future bids in an auction expected to take place later this summer. Attorneys for Gawker. I can't even speak tonight. Man, I'm having such a great
auction?
Night.
Auction? Who's going to want it?
They're going to put it up on eBay. Attorneys for both Gawker and Hogan, whose legal name, of course, Terry Bollea, agreed on Wednesday to a standstill in litigation the publisher faces in Florida until July 13th. Billionaire investor Peter Thiel, an early backer of Facebook and PayPal helped fund Hogan's lawsuit and several others against Gawker. Gawker posted a 2007 article about Thiel entitled "Peter Thiel is totally gay, comma people." Gawker founder, so he had an axe to grind with him too. Gawker founder, I love it too. Gawker founder and chief executive, yeah, try getting away with something like that in Orlando right now. Gawker founder and chief executive Nick Denton told CNBC on Wednesday that the $90 million offer from Ziff Davis is depressed compared to what Business Insider got last year. European digital publisher Axel Springer SE announced it was buying Business's website, Business Insider, for $442 million in September. In his comments to CNBC, Denton did not rule out buying Gawker himself, stating, quote, "If an acquirer doesn't value it as, say, I or other investors would," unquote. So it's interesting to, that was from Reuters. It's interesting really to see where this is going to go from, you know, they've got, Hogan's got guaranteed money out of this. They can't,
wait, Reuters? So it was from the WWE locker room, Reuters.
Yeah, from Reuters, exactly, from Reuters. So Hogan gets his guaranteed money. He's walking away with six figures on this deal. The bankruptcy is them trying to weasel their way out of this. It's going to be awful tough to weasel their way out of this when there's guaranteed payouts that have to be done.
See, now, what I would like to know, and I've heard about the type of debts that bankruptcy will get you out of. But if you declare bankruptcy and it's accepted, I don't believe that gets you out of a court judgment.
Not if there's a guaranteed settlement.
Right.
And that's the thing. The judge already said, look, you're going to pay. You can go ahead. You can declare bankruptcy. You can do whatever the hell you want, but you're going to pay this. You're paying X amount. Hogan is getting X. They made the owner of Gawker fork over cash, a guaranteed sum to Hogan. Now, of course, about 80% of that went to the attorneys, but it didn't matter. Hogan was still walking out with six figures.
I believe it's like $50 million that they told Gawker. See, here's what happens. When you get a judgment against you in a court, you have to deposit a certain amount of money with the court. So Gawker had to give the court like $50 million at least. So now if Gawker somehow wins the appeal, they'll get that money back. But if Gawker loses the appeal, then the court will simply hand that money to Hogan.
Yeah, that's eventually, exactly. That's what will eventually happen.
Here's the deal. We got to go to break. You know what? I'm going to pull out an Enzo here. This is to TNA Impact Wrestling and to Gawker. I have only one word to describe you. B-R-O-W-K. Broke. There you go.
Don't go anywhere. This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind on the SNS Radio Network.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
This is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network. Welcome to the Yo, monkeys, it's me, TPP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, well, you, monkey, you're listening on the SNS Network. Stay tuned or you will feel.
Big Daddy Cool Diesel / Kevin Nash is listening on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA, and you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
His Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, Mr. Hall of Fame, 2011. And you are listening on SNS Radio Network. See ya! And I wouldn't want to be here.
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line. Because Stone Cold said so.
is listening.
We will not live our lives in fear, for we are a proud people, proud of who we are, proud of our nation, and damn proud to be Americans.
America! Pro Wrestling Rewind, back on the SNS PIB Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining us, man. I'm telling you, the world's going to hell. I'm not a fan of The Voice, so I didn't know who this girl was that got shot up in Orlando last week or over the weekend. And then I like most people, woke up Sunday morning, heard about a shooting, thought it had something to do with her. And then come to find out, you got this. Apparently, they're still trying to figure out whether this guy was a gay ISIS sympathizer, whatever. It doesn't matter. The guy goes into the Pulse nightclub, and shoots up the place. 50 people dead, about the same amount wounded. Him declaring his allegiance to ISIS. I'm not going to get on a political rant on this. Everybody knows where I stand on this. And then this morning, the heartbreak of finding out that a little 2-year-old boy had been snatched by an alligator, of all things, at the Walt Disney World Resort, snatched by an alligator as his father and a lifeguard and another passerby were trying to get him back, wrestle him back from the gator. And they found him lifeless earlier today. It's just been, if you are in Orlando, they always say it comes in threes. Our hearts are with you. There's really not much more we can say except, you know, hashtag we are Orlando. You know, the WWE Performance Center out of Florida. There's a lot of reasons why. Pat and I had a conversation from Evil Seed Sauces, which sponsor, as always, EvilSeedSauces.com. Treat your meat to the best sauces available. There's only one Big Bacon Barbecue. There's only one Cirque du Noir. If you're going to get you're going to barbecue this summer. You know you're going to. So don't go out. Don't buy the Kraft. Don't buy the great value, cheapy Walmart crap. All right, that's not going to do it. If you're going to have a barbecue, go big. Okay, go big or just don't barbecue at all. Just go to McDonald's and buy a hamburger if you're going to buy that crap, because that's basically what you're going to get. Go on over to Evil Seed Sauces. Check them out on Facebook, Evil Seed Sauce Company, Twitter, Evil Seed Sauces. Check them out. PM Pat McGill, say, this is what I got. Here's my steak. Here's my chicken. What should I get? He'll hook you up. EvilSeedSauces.com. Orlando, really. Florida, I don't know what it is, why this has been all of a sudden become the epicenter for crap to happen. But we not just here at the Rewind, but on the SNS Radio Network, and I know other pro wrestling radio hosts, you know, we're all, no matter what side of the professional wrestling spectrum you are on, the left or the right, we are, you know, hashtag we are Orlando. We are one community together in support of those whose lives were tragically taken so soon in Orlando.
Well, I am going to get political. First of all, and I'm going to try to do this without vulgarity, I will probably end up doing this again on another show where I can kind of really express it, but I'm going to have respect for Andy and respect for the Pro Wrestling Rewind and not curse. Number one, you Christian fundamentalist idiots who should buy guns yourselves and shove them down your throats and pull the trigger, who are saying that these 49 or 50 gay folk who got killed deserved it.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Kill yourselves.
That's not cool. Now listen, hold up. I got to stop you right there. I am a Christian, okay? But I am a Christian who believes that you have the right to be whoever you want to be with. Now, it's not for me to judge what is right from a personal standpoint. It's not for me to judge if you like guys, you like guys. If you like girls, you like girls. If you're a girl that likes girls, you know, that's, you know, whatever.
Well,
I have friends. I have very good friends that are of the gay lesbian community. One of my best friends in the world, my former broadcast colleague Scott Dustin from WSNN, the booming voice that you would recognize from the title held hostage promo, a man who was taken from us way too soon, was openly, well, I shouldn't say openly gay, but there were those of us that knew he was gay. But it didn't matter. You can be with whoever you want to be, but this is so confusing. And you know, you get people out there. Well, they were gay. They deserve to die. That, you know what? Paige, would you please, Paige?
This sucks, and this is all bullshit.
Don't come out here and tell me that God wanted those people to die because you're full of crap and you're belittling yourself and you're made good Christians like me. You're making it bad for people like me. Now, I can't support a religion. I cannot support any religion that goes out and says, you need to kill. All right, well, the Christians had the Crusades. Okay, granted, but that was like 500 freaking years ago. Okay, get over it. I can't support a religion that goes out and says, you need to kill in the name of the God. All right, whatever, Allah, Akbar, whatever the hell they say, I don't know. But I've got total respect for every religion. I got respect for your religion. I've got respect if you're gay or lesbian, whatever. But for the love of God, people, whatever God you believe in, just leave everybody the hell alone. I saw the best post I saw on Facebook that said, will you effing people, you effing twats, please stop killing each other. And I thought to myself, that was an absolutely brilliant way of encompassing this. But I digress. Go ahead.
Well, two things. Here's the problem I have. These Christian fundamentalists who want to jump and say that these gay people deserve to die also will ignore the fact that priests who are gay for six-year-old choir boys, they covered up for it for years.
Yeah,
number one.
Exactly.
You know, number two, there are Christian fundamentalists who are trying to block a law in New York to extend the statute of limitations for child molestation because they're afraid that if it passes, some of these priests that were covered up for might actually have to go to jail. Okay.
Oh, well,
that's number one. Look, I'm not trying to
they take, don't need priests. They don't need priests to do mass in jail.
Well, but here's the deal, being serious. The other problem I have is, look, if you want to go hunting, that's fine. If you hunt and you eat what you kill, I'm totally fine with it. If you want to have a single fire handgun for home protection, you know what? Yeah, I live in New York City. Damn it. Unfortunately, I wouldn't trust myself because my vision is very bad. But if I did have good vision, I would like the freedom to own a handgun to protect myself and my family. However, automatic weapons that can fire 60 freaking shots a second should not be available to anyone who isn't in the military.
You and I disagree on this.
Okay.
And I disagree because you have a constitution that gives you a right to bear arms. And well, that was back when they had muskets. Oh, don't give me that crap. An arm is an arm is an arm. If I am because I got a constitutional right to have one. And if I want to have, my M16, all right, that I can go out to the range and shoot, all right, and I'm a responsible gun owner, and I go and I pick up the gun legally and I pass the background check, then I have the right to have that weapon. But But that also means I have all the responsibilities that go with it. I have to ensure that thing is locked up. I have to make sure that all the permits are up to date. I have to make sure that if I'm transporting it, there's some states, if you want to transport a weapon, you have to let the police know. I have those responsibilities that go with it. But if I am an American citizen with a right to bear arms, I have the right. Well, you don't need, it's like, well, you don't need 10 round magazine to go kill a deer. That's where the danger comes in. That's where the politicians start. And that's where they begin to start coming They're not coming after the guns. When you start restricting what can and can't be sold, that is the beginning of the end for gun rights. Now, I hear what you're saying, T, and I totally hear what you're saying. Here's what has to happen, in my opinion. Here's what has to happen. If your name gets on one of these lists, or there is even a remote inkling possible. I know we're not talking about wrestling right now. We're 10 minutes into the segment. It's coming, folks. Bear with us. We have a forum. We have a forum, and we're going to use it. If the FBI so much as gets a breath of wind that you are even remotely planning or breathing something that could even be misconstrued as a potential terror threat, then there should be a restriction on your ability to obtain a firearm until you can prove that you are not going to be a threat. Now, this guy here, this guy was on the radar. They already knew about this guy. So how this guy didn't make it under any sort of watch list or anything. I love this new thing that's coming out of Congress right now where they're saying, okay, you know, if you're on the terror watch list or you're on any of these other watch lists, you can't buy a gun. And then the Democrats came and they said, okay, well, yeah, we'll go for that. But you've got to have a way to if somebody thinks that they're on there unfairly, then they've got to have there has to be some way for them to fight this. That's okay. Don't take away my right to keep and bear an arm if I'm a responsible gun owner. It shouldn't matter what kind of gun it is. But no. It should not matter what kind of gun it is, but there has to be a level of restriction and responsibility that goes on. If this guy's going, they had a video of him 6 years ago talking trash, talking terrorist crap. If they'd have known about this guy 6 years ago, then I'm sorry. Then he should have made it on some list where there would have to be a restriction. He would have to go. He goes to the gun store. The gun store does the background checks. And I know these things are relatively quick. They say, oh, sorry, I can't sell you the gun. Why can't you sell me the gun? Because I am being told from the Federal Registry that you are on a list and I cannot sell you a gun. It's like a loan.
If you have
a low credit score, you can't get a loan. Now
I am also required to report to the federal government that you attempted to obtain this gun.
Absolutely.
I go that far. Now, I agree with you there.
Absolutely. That's right.
You went a direction I didn't think you were going to go, and I ended up agreeing with you completely. But here's my deal.
Yeah.
Other than a feeling of power, why does a civilian need to own an automatic weapon?
Because I want it, and I have a right as a legal, responsible gun owner to have it, and there is a constitutional... There is a constitutional provision that says that if I want to bear an arm, I have the right to do it so long as I am responsible, so long as I'm maintaining the weapon in the manner that is prescribed by the law, that I am following, I am getting all the permits, that it's locked up. If I don't do what I am required to do, if I am not a responsible gun owner, then the government has the right to take that right to bear an arm away from me if it is proven that I have not been responsible, if I have not been following the law, I have not been doing my responsibility. Well, this opens yourself up to a whole bunch of other things. No, it doesn't, because look, if you can't get a loan, if you have a low credit score, you have a right to get a copy of your credit report and go and fight items on your credit report, try to get them removed to get your credit score up so that you can try to get a loan.
This is no different.
If you are denied a purchase of a gun, if you're denied, and I'm talking the legal gun owners here. Look, criminals are going to find a way to get a gun. They're not going to go into a gun shop.
Right.
Gun free zone. I guess we better not try to go and shoot up this school because they're a gun free zone. Oh damn, man. Well, that sucks. Okay, but you've got to have reasonable protections in place to protect innocent lives. Now, when you talk about being the responsible guy, if he'd have been on the list, any sort of list where there's even a remote possibility, well, you're impeding his right to bear arms. Right now, he's responsible. Yes, but obviously there is something there that the government fears. Now, this is where it really gets precarious. This is where it really gets scary. Because if the government, it's like the IRS and the and conservative groups that were being targeted. If the current administration does not like you and you get put on a list, then, you know, then, and you've got to go and you've got to fight that. Well, you know, that that kind of sucks. But this is the gray area that needs to be fought. But if they knew that this guy was going to be a potential issue, then he should have been blocked and been forced to be able to demonstrate that he was going to be, you know, a responsible gun owner. And maybe that wouldn't have stopped it. But at least they could have gone and said, hey, you know, we did our due diligence. He was on a list. We stopped him from purchasing the gun. You know, he was able to pull one over on us and he got the gun. And then this happened. Well, that didn't happen in this case. He legally got the firearms. He legally obtained the weapons and he went out and shot people. I'm sorry. There are going to be bad people in this world. I feel terrible for the 50 people that passed away, or 49 people, however many there were. I feel terrible for them. And I'm sure that people in the NRA feel terrible for them. I'm sure there are people that legally own and are responsible gun owners that are looking at this guy. It's like, way to go, man. You totally effed us. You know, you went and you shot a bunch of people. You got the guns legally. And now we're the ones that are taking it on the back end. You're gonna have all that. But with a provision in a constitution that gives you a right to bear an arm comes a responsibility. If the founders didn't want it, they wouldn't have put it in, and it wouldn't have been ratified. But
the founders were also slave owners who came here because they wanted to be free.
They weren't all slave owners.
I'm not, and I get what you're saying, and I actually thought I'd end up disagreeing with you more.
Yeah,
but the way you're presenting it, I get what you're saying. And it's kind of like cocaine. Cocaine is illegal here in New York.
Right.
But I guarantee you, if I wanted to go out and get some, I could find it.
Look, okay? I don't advocate drug use.
Right.
But if you want to smoke marijuana, just don't bring it around my house. Don't bring it in front of my kids. Go and buy your marijuana. Go home and smoke. Don't be driving, because if I find out you're driving and you get in an accident, I'm going to sue you, and you hit my kids, I'm going to sue your sorry ass, and I may go after the marijuana manufacturers too. But you've got to be responsible. If it is a restricted product, you have to be responsible. And if you're not going to be responsible, then you shouldn't be allowed to purchase it.
If I'm sitting here and I'm going to say, all right, the stance I thought I'd take tonight is we shouldn't make it legal for any private citizen to own an automatic weapon. But the problem with that is, even if you enacted that law, let's just say you took that amendment of the Constitution and threw it in the trash and said, all right, no one can have a gun. Guess what? The same way, I could probably go out there now and within 10 minutes in New York City find cocaine, which is illegal, find heroin, which is illegal.
Yep.
You're going to be, even if you legalize automatic weapons, there's going to be a black market.
That's right. There was a guy at the I know we're going off on a tangent here again, but President Barack Hussein Obama was at a PBS event taking, that's his name, Barack Hussein Obama. There was a guy, that's his name. You can't deny it's a man's name. What's the problem? I can't say his name. What the hell? What, you got something against guys that are named Hussein? I don't know what your problem is anyway. So he was on PBS, and there was a gentleman, a very well-spoken gentleman, who stood up, and you can find this clip. This clip was on Facebook. It was on YouTube, and he said, you know, Mr. President, right now. And he said, you know, why are you trying to limit responsible gun owners like me from obtaining a firearm when you've got places like, I love this, places like Chicago where the crime rate is ridiculous, that has been in Democrat hands for as long as anybody can remember, run by Democrats and has some of the strictest gun, and it's true, Chicago has, Illinois has some of the strictest gun control restrictions in the country, yet all the gangbangers are shooting each other up in Chicago and has one of the worst murder rates in the country. Now, if you were to tighten some of those restrictions, let some of those people bear arms, maybe you wouldn't have a lot of these problems, is what he's saying. So, Mr. President, why are you coming out? And I loved how the president did give a very intelligent response to this. He kind of skirted the question. He didn't answer it directly, but I thought that the question really put him on the spot. And it is a fair question. But with a right to do something comes a responsibility to be responsible with that right. If I want to have my AK-47, my M16, my FNC-1A1 7.62 millimeter, whatever I want to have, all right, so long as I obtain it legally, permits, I'm transporting it legally and properly, and it's locked up and nobody have access to it, you know, except, you know, responsible parties, then that's my right. Now, if my house gets broken into and my guns get stolen, then guess what? I don't deserve the right to have a gun, because I didn't protect it, and I need to be ready to face whatever consequences come of that, because that is the responsibility that I take. Oh, they're coming for you, T. That is the responsibility that I take if I have a right to bear an arm. So while, you know, I can understand somebody coming out and saying, well, you know, why does somebody need a 10-round magazine? Well, for one thing, convenience, because I don't feel like having to constantly reload my weapon every time I shoot it. Okay, I would like to have 10 rounds or 15 rounds or 20 rounds. All right, now, but you don't need a fully automatic weapon. Okay, all right, but you know, I kind of like a semi-automatic. I don't want to have to keep using the bolt action every time I'm taking a shot. I like to just pull the trigger and go boom, 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 boom. Okay, but once again, that is my right. If you're going to be responsible, that's one thing. But that being said, with that right, If so much as somebody is breathing the wrong way as it pertains to any potential threat that could be misconstrued as something related to a current terrorist organization like ISIS or ISIL or whatever they're calling it this week, then yeah, I'm sorry, your name's getting on a list and you got to prove that you shouldn't be on that list. Because there's a reason, I'm sorry, but there's a reason why people get on these lists. There's a reason why police go undercover, you know, looking for members of the, you know, looking at members of the mob. There's a reason why these things happen. And it's not because the cops have something better to do with their time.
Yeah, and I think that this was a case where this guy didn't say anything about ISIS until the night he did what he did. I think that was kind of a cop-out. Also, several of the survivors said, hey, this guy was frequenting the, you know, he was coming to the club.
He was going on gay websites looking for people.
So I'm thinking this is one of those deals where someone snapped. And again, there really is no way to protect that. Because, no. You know, you could be a person who passed all the tests. You could be a guy who you went through the psychological evaluations, did everything you needed to do. Hey, you're cool. You can own a nuclear bomb if you want. You're stable. You're a good guy. But anyone can snap.
Yep.
So there's really no way.
I could snap. You're right. I could snap. The Boston bombers used rice cookers. So what are you going to do? You going to ban rice cookers now?
Yeah, right. Exactly. You make a great point. Sure.
Okay, it's not, ladies and gentlemen, it's not a perfect system. No system is. There has never been a real successful government in the history of any government, of any country in the world. We have what we have. There are people, I've blocked friends on Facebook because they can't seem to have a reasonable conversation as it pertains to politics.
But and, you haven't blocked me yet. That's surprising.
No, because I'm not going to name names, but the guy wanted to be an ass and didn't want to listen. And most people on that side of the aisle that are that hardcore wouldn't listen to reason if it came up and smacked him in the ass. So you know what? Fine. Hashtag Block City. Knock yourself out. I don't have time for that. I don't need to come out. Look, I'm Canadian. People don't understand something. I'm Canadian. I don't have a dog in this fight. I can't vote come November. But I've lived in a system in Canada where I have seen socialized medicine. I've seen what it can do. It's not a perfect system. I've seen a system, freedom to speak, just beware what you say. I've seen it. I much more prefer living in the United States where I am far more free. I may not be as safe as I am in Canada, but I am far more free here than I am 45 minutes up the road.
Really?
Yes.
Now, I find that surprising because I almost think in my mind, and guys, look, I promise you we're going to get to Money in the Bank.
That'll be the next segment.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm shocked to hear you say that because I'm sitting here as an American citizen born and bred,
yep,
thinking that Canada has the more free system.
No, you're wrong.
Wow.
You're wrong.
Okay.
You're absolutely positively wrong. Canada is a free society, and we have far more, you know, far more immigration. But you want to talk about, well, let's use my hometown. Let's use, well, not exactly my hometown, my adopted hometown of Vancouver, British Columbia, where you want to talk about a melting pot where you have Japanese, you have Chinese, you have, you have Hindus, you know, Pakistanis, East Indians, you have a whites, blacks. You have a great melting pot of society, and for the most part, people get along. But, you know, you get out Surrey way, you got the gangbangers, okay? You got gangbangers out there, you know, shooting each other up. You got a couple of haters. Here, Enzo.
We got a couple of haters. Couple of haters. Bada boom, realest guys in the room. How you doing?
But it doesn't matter where you live. You're going to run into issues like that. But you see, if I were to get on if I were on terrestrial radio in Canada and I said something hateful, I could be charged with hate speech. I can't be charged with hate speech down there because you've got freedom of speech down here. So there are ways where, well, yeah, but in Canada, you've got universal health care. Yes, but you have to wait. Some you got to wait 6 weeks, you know, 6 weeks or not 6 weeks. Sometimes you got to wait 6 months to get an MRI. You could be dead by the time you get an MRI. My grandfather was in his 80s, fell down, had a brain bleed, and the doctors wouldn't operate to relieve the pressure on his skull because they figured he was old enough. He lived a good life. Let him go. I have never forgiven the Canadian health system for that. And even when my mother almost died with her liver from all the years of alcohol. And you know, they were just sort of like him and Han what they were going to do. Fortunately, she recovered, thank God. You know, God bless her, and she's no longer an alcoholic. She's, you know, she's living a great life, and she understands that she dodged a bullet. But if I had a choice, I would never want to get sick in Canada. Never would want to get sick in Canada. I would much prefer, and I have been so fortunate with my concussion, with my with all the issues that, you know, with the medical issues, my surgery, the issues I've had after my surgery, my weight loss surgery, all the things that I have gone through. I thank God that I have been able to get those things done down here in the United States than I would ever want to have to deal with in Canada. But I digress. We got Money in the Bank. We got to take a break. Hey, when we come back, Money in the Bank for the next segment. We got some more news to get to. We're done talking politics. We're done talking all this. But Orlando, we stand with you. Don't go anywhere. It's a Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS Radio Network.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
When the winner of Extreme Chef Season 1, Chef Amadeus, quoted, "I'm an extreme fan of these sauces and the fact that evil does a body good," we knew Evil Seed Sauces was a force to be reckoned with. Evil Seed Sauces has been seen on the Cooking Channel, the New York Times, CBS, and the Huffington Post. Now it's your turn to see what everyone online is talking about, and that's the unbelievable selection of sauces that you can find only from EvilSeedSauces.com. Evil Seed is the home of the Big Evil Bacon Barbecue Sauce. And if you're a bacon lover, this is a must-have. Try it in meatloaf or sloppy joes, baked beans, you name it. Treat your meat to the best in sauces available from EvilSeedSauces.com. Check them out on Facebook at Facebook.com/EvilSeedSauces, on Twitter at Twitter.com/EvilSeedSauces, or on their website at EvilSeedSauces.com. That's EvilSeedSauces.com. Live good, eat evil. EvilSeedSauces.com.
Shot through the heart, and you're too late, darling. You give love a bad name.
Andy Knowles was the one that refused to watch WWE because you were Divas champion.
Oh, we're calling out Andy now.
Andy, I'm so happy I made you so miserable. That's how powerful I am.
And that's funny because his name, his nickname is The Power. So using the word powerful there, fantastic usage, Maya. I will make sure that he hears that snippet.
You know the funny thing about Money in the Bank? Nowhere on this card, I'm looking, nowhere do I see Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship match. Back one more time around Pro Wrestling Rewind here on the SNS PIB Radio Network, The Power. Andy Knowles, the intellectual savior of the SNS Radio Network, back with you. Pro Wrestling's Truth Detector. There was a title change recently that needs to be discussed, of course. I've become a huge fan of In Your Face Wrestling. Two of the great talents that I had the opportunity to announce, Firework Fox Vineyard. Best way to describe Fox Vineyard is sort of a missing link type character. He was at the Fight for the Mind event. He was the In Your Face Wrestling New Breed champion, which would be the equivalent. That is their secondary championship in Your Face Wrestling, Drake Evans In Your Face Wrestling. The Vagabond, Ryan Rogan, who had a great match himself at the event and was also involved in the main event with Tommy Dreamer and Shooter Storm taking on the Barbarians. He was at ringside for the Barbarians, got himself ejected, actually. He went to the Coronation Cup back on June 11th and defeated Fireworks Fox Vineyard to become the new In Your Face Wrestling New Breed champion. And we failed to mention that Bobby Ocean had defeated Drake Evans, who was the In Your Face Wrestling heavyweight champion. Bobby Ocean is the new In Your Face Wrestling championship. He successfully defended the championship against H.C. Loken in an Extreme Rules match at the Coronation Cup. Actually, Cassius Kutcher defeated Drake Evans, Chip Stetson, and Brutal Bob Evans to win the Coronation Cup tournament. A couple of other matches from that event, Eric Eminon and Thomas Brewington, the IndyCard Mafia, two of my favorites, absolute class acts, the two of them. Mirage, another great talented superstar, class act herself. They defeated the five-star Spectacle JC and five-star Jace with Honest Abe to retain the In Your Face Wrestling Tag Team Championship. Garrett Holiday is another name to be looking at In Your Face Wrestling, too. He did lose to Brutal Bob Evans to get Brutal Bob Evans getting the final slot in the Coronation Cup tournament. But I could not, as a matter of fact, now that Ryan Rogan is a champion, I'm going to reach out. I'm actually having lunch with Shooter tomorrow, and we're going to try to get the Vagabond Ryan Rogan on the newsmaker line on the Pro Wrestling Rewind to talk to him about his championship when the new In Your Face Wrestling New Breed champion.
In Your Face Wrestling needs to come to New York, man. A new champion, absolutely. But here's the deal, man. Shooter, I find it a highlight of my day to read on my way to work what he is going to put on his Facebook page. Okay. Shooter is amazing. And I am so sorry to hear. We need to bring Shooter back on. I mean, I feel so sorry to hear about, he's having more problems with this shoulder, man. And it just sucks, and I will never, ever, ever take liberties with the fact that, I'm friends with this guy on Facebook. I'm not going to put out anything personal. I would never do that. But I mean, his shoulder, he's having problems with it. And man, it just, it sucks. I just want to give a shout out to shoot her. And, man, I hope you're okay, and I wish you the best of luck.
We're going to have him. We're going to have him back on the program. I'll get it confirmed tomorrow. I want to get him. I want to get Ryan Rowley on the program because he has just signed. Shooter just signed. He's going to be going. He's leaving for Tennessee in July. He has signed with the AWA to work a bunch of dates down there in Tennessee. And so he by then, hopefully the shoulder will be back. He's going to be working events for the AWA out of Tennessee, and we'll get him on the program. We're going to get the Vagabond Ryan Rogan, the new breed, the In Your Face Wrestling new breed champion. We'll get him on the program as well. Hard hitting Bobby Ocean, the new In Your Face Wrestling heavyweight champion, IndyCard Mafia, the current tag team champions. You can catch their events online at IYFWrestling.com. They do an absolutely fantastic job. And if you're in Northeast New York, if you're in and around the Albany area, a lot of their shows you can catch. But you're do yourself a favor and get on out to one of their events. But no, I will get that coordinated tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a pay-per-view that is just around the corner. It is one of the premier events. It's shaping up to be one of the best WWE pay-per-view events of the year. The Money in the Bank event that's going to be happening here on Sunday is shaping up to be a barn burner. We have, right now as it stands, we have three championships on the line. We have the women's champion will be in action. Nowhere do I see the current Intercontinental heavyweight champion anywhere. I think that's a matter to be discussed. But we're going to go through the matches. There are eight matches scheduled for the card, two in the pre-show, six in the main show. Ziggy taking on Baron Corbin. Is this feud, this feud is pretty much all but over at this point. This is an academic match.
Yeah, I mean, like, this needs to end. This really... Now, this is listed as a kickoff match, which I'm assuming means it'll be on the pay-per-view itself, not before it.
Well, the Bleacher Report is
wrong.
Bleacher Report is showing this match on the pre-show. I mean, the card is subject to change, but Baron Corbin's going to take Ziggy around the ring a couple of times and kick him around the ring and pin him.
But come on, man. Ziggler deserves so much more. If there's anyone who should bail on the WWE, if there's anyone who should go to Japan, go to Lucha Underground, go to freaking TNA, go anywhere, go to In Your Face Wrestling, if there's anyone who should tell WWE, kiss my ass, it should be Ziggler.
I agree. He's been treated like crap. Now, I'll say this. Ziggy, to his credit, is really doing what Miz, and I will say this, what Miz, to his credit, has been doing. He's going in. He's coming to work. He's doing what he's told. He's being a good little corporate kiss ass.
Sure.
And you know, Ziggy, we need you to put over the NXT kid. Okay, Vince, no problem. I'll put over, you know, say, hey, so long as I get to wrestle and so long as I'm getting a big fat paycheck, that's not a problem. Ziggy is just like the Miz, man. Yep, Vince, whatever you want, no problem. Just make sure the checks keep rolling in. He doesn't care. He just wants to go out. He wants to entertain. He's at that point in his career in the WWE where he has to put over younger talent. Baron Corbin is the guy. Ziggy's the sacrificial lamb. Baron Corbin gets the win by pinfall.
Think so?
Yeah, he does.
Corbin doesn't do anything for me. He's just, look, I'm sorry, guys. He's just like a big guy he's a big guy. That's it. He's a big guy.
Yeah, but he needs somebody to go over, and he's got to get somebody that's established. Ziggy is a former world champion, former Intercontinental champion. There's nobody bigger right now for him to go over than Ziggy. So, like I say, kicks him around the ring, he pins him, and he moves on. And for Corbin's sake, I hope he gets somebody else of prominence that he can kick around, because you're absolutely right. The way that he has been responded to by the fans, I don't see him lasting too terribly long. I see him going the way of Adam Rose if he doesn't start smartening up a little bit and endearing himself from a heel standpoint, really pissing off the fans, because the fans are, they're basically yawning when he's coming out. Yeah, yeah, he won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, but that was a yawn in itself too.
Baron Corbin has about as much depth as a kindergartner's swimming pool.
Exactly.
Okay, yep. I mean, look, I mean, it's just, now another guy who
wait a minute. Now, hold on.
We got a couple haters.
Go ahead.
Now, another guy who, to me, just seems to have been brought up to the main roster and is stuck in limbo, Apollo Crews versus Rocksteady. Sheamus. In a kickoff match. Sheamus wins. He's got a movie out there in the theaters. I don't know why the hell that he even brought up Apollo Crews. What is he doing? Could someone tell me, please?
Apollo Crews is like the second coming of a Bobby Lashley. He looks good, but he really doesn't go anywhere. He's got the personality of a wet fish. So, yeah, I agree. I think they're bringing him up. I will be the most shocked person if Apollo Crews can get over on Sheamus, considering, you know, Sheamus has, you know, he's starring with Stephen Amell in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you know, and why not put him over, considering he's got the movie? They do that for The Rock all the time.
Now let me just say this. I like Apollo Crews. I think the kid's good. I just think he needed to spend about another 6 months in NXT.
Yeah, he's good. He's NXT. Yeah. He's NXT good. He's not main roster good. Maybe he'll be good when we get to the brand split, which is going to be happening here in a few weeks. Maybe he goes over to SmackDown and he goes kicking some tail over there. Maybe, I don't know.
Now, how does this match work? This is how ingrained in WWE I've been. Women's champion Charlotte and Dana Brooks versus Natalya and Becky Lynch. So in this pay-per-view, the women's title will not be on the line.
No, it won't. You've got Mickie James Jr., Natty Neidhart taking on Flair and Arn Anderson. Now, if this were 30 years ago, I would give this match to Mickie James Jr. and Natty Neidhart if this were 30 years ago, taking on Flair and Anderson. Now what you've got a much more physical Arn Anderson and a much sneakier Flair.
Stop.
And I hate to say this, but I'm going to take, if I got to look at this, knowing that Becky Lynch hasn't really had a solid win lately, Natty Neidhart pretty much, you know, she's the female version of Dolph Ziggler. I got to give this one, I don't see them splitting up Arn Anderson and Flair at this point. I'm going to give this one, Arn Anderson's got to come in. The female version of Arn Anderson has to come in and make a move on this. I see her taking the pin or being involved in the pinfall, getting the pinfall over either Natty Neidhart or Mickie James Jr. So I take Flair and Anderson in this over Lynch and Natty.
I'll agree with that one. It's like any time Natalya has been involved in a match in the last 5 years, she loses at a pay-per-view. And you know what?
Let the trend continue.
I hope Natalya is getting paid a disgusting amount of money. I really do.
I hope so, too.
I hope she's getting paid an amount of money that would make everyone sick. That's what I hope, because she deserves so much more. But she's been, like you said, okay, Vince, yeah, even though in a real fight, I would break this girl's neck and put her in a wheelchair for the rest of her life.
Yep.
No problem.
Caruso even says it. You see it on Divas. Every time Caruso comes out there, Caruso gets Natty Neidhart in a room and says, Natty, we need you to hang out with this girl. We need you to put over that girl. Natty's like, yep, okay, you know, Natty, you know, you do such a great job for us. You're a good worker. You come to work on time. Like, that's a big deal. And Caruso's got her wrapped around the finger, but she's making the paycheck. She's got to make the paycheck because poor Tyson Kidd thanks to Samoa Joe, he's gone, he's out, he's done. So she's got to be the breadwinner for the family, and she's going to have to go out, and she's going to have to take matches like this, and she's going to lose to Flair and Anderson. Dana Brooke is the best female competitor that they could have matched with Charlotte Flair from a... Now, all they need, they got to get... They need a Tully Blanchard. They need a Tully Blanchard, and they need the wild card. Now, I'm telling you, get Sasha Banks, I think, is that Tully Blanchard, if they can get her into this. And
really?
That, yeah, I think she's, you know, Tully Blanchard wasn't as flashy, but, you know, he was Flair-esque. He was difficult to beat, and he was very fashionable. He always wore the nice suits. He had, you know, he was very fashionable. And I think that's the Sasha Banks character. I can't see anybody else on the roster that would work, but they need the wild card. They need the Lex Luger or the Barry Windham. And I can't yet find, I don't see one of those type of characters on the roster.
Freaking Hillary Clinton. She's definitely as ugly as Lex Luger. So let me stop.
What else we got? Okay. Go ahead real quick. And then I want to get to the next one.
Let me do this one. I don't even care if the show is a little long. Let me do this one. U.S. Championship, Rusev versus Titus O'Neil. Let me say this. Titus, this match was just thrown together. This poor guy had a comeback after this bullshit suspension.
This sucks. And this is all bullshit.
I would love to see Titus, and I am rooting for Titus, and I am marking out for Titus. I like Rusev, but they have just completely made him uninteresting to me. I would love to see Titus O'Neil running around the ring chanting hoorah, hoorah, hoorah with the U.S. title. Titus O'Neil all the way, kick Rusev's ass.
I can't disagree. I'm rooting for Titus on this. I want to see Titus get his first singles championship. I want to see Rusev lose. There are too many heel champions right now in the WWE, and I'm losing interest because there are no face champions. And seriously, there are no face champions in the WWE right now, and we need face champions. We need guys like Titus O'Neil holding that title and having a reasonable title run, and getting some heels chasing him. So I'm going to go with you on that, Titus O'Neil. Now we've got a four-way dance for the tag team champions. This is going to be great. We've got the Bronies taking on the Vaudevillains. We have Festus and Anderson. And, of course, our boys Enzo and Cass.
I am a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that. And he's 7 foot tall, and you can't teach that.
Oh, we missed a piece there. That's okay. But anyway, I know what I want, but it's not what I'm going to get. I want Enzo and Cass to win this match and take the tag team championships, but I hate to say it. It's pretty much going to fall on Festus and Anderson. I got a feeling they're walking out with the belt.
No way. WWE has done everything that they could do to absolutely bury the Blewett Club. Okay? No freaking way is the Blewett Club. Here's my prediction. I would love, and look, here's the deal. Here's where Andy and I will disagree and then agree again.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a problem if New Day retained.
I would.
But to be honest, I'm kind of tired of it. I would die. Okay. This is definitely for the title, right?
It's for the championships. They can't, and they don't have to be involved in the decision to lose the belts.
I would die to see. And sorry, man, just because I'm a white boy, it ain't a racist thing. Just because I'm Italian, it ain't a racist thing. But Enzo and Kaz, baby, those are my picks. I would die if Enzo and Kaz won these titles. Everyone's in the IWC is talking about them breaking up Kaz and Enzo. No freaking way. Put the belts on them. A great babyface team. Oh, you know, they're not going to do it to the Blewett Club. No way. My two predictions are either My Little Bronies retains or Enzo and Cass win.
They got to get the belt. Oh, by the way.
Bada boom! Realest guys in the room. How you doing?
How do it, babe?
I'm with you. I desperately want to see Enzo. You know what? I'm going to pick him. Enzo and Cass to win.
Me too.
I got to go with it, even though I just got this feeling that we're going to get straight. New Day do not walk out the tag team champions. They've had their time. They've had their run. They've got their little, you know, they can go and they can make money with the vibrators on the head. They can go and they can make money with that. But we've got to get some real tag team championships.
The Vaudevillains, hold on a minute. The Vaudevillains, I'm sorry, look. I loved them in NXT.
Yep.
They're worthless on the main roster.
I'm afraid so. Yep.
The belts ain't going on them. They would put the belts on me and Andy before the Vaudevillians.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 15 years in the making, AJ Styles taking on John Cena, a dream match. AJ Styles wins match number one. John Cena's got to put him over. They got to keep. Now, I will agree with you. If Cena wins, then I will agree with you that it is a desecration and it is a drowning of
yes.
the Bullet Club. If Cena wins.
Yep.
But if AJ wins, this match goes to a series of three. AJ wins the first, Cena wins the second, and then the third's a toss-up.
I wanted to come on here tonight and argue with you, and you're ruining it. I completely agree. AJ needs to win this, even if the Bullet Club interferes. Because if the Bullet Club interfered, it would actually help rather than detract. If Cena wins, then what you're telling me is something I've suspected all along. Vince McMahon will never get behind something that he didn't create. The AJ Styles character is something that he didn't create. And if you let AJ job to Cena, it does nothing. Does absolutely nothing. Cena, and I think this is going to happen. I'm going to go out on a limb, and yep. even if it's with interference, I'm going to say AJ gets the win some way, somehow. I like the promo work between them. I like how John Cena is basically saying, hey, you're a new guy who came in here and you're trying to get over and it's bull. And AJ basically telling Cena, well, you're a guy who no one likes, but you're here because you're here. I think AJ needs to get this win. If AJ does not get this win, then I will videotape myself spitting on the WWE logo. AJ needs to get this win. That's it. Period.
We get the customary superstar returns, wants his championship match for whatever reason. Seth Rollins is the current contributor to that storyline. He takes on WWE World Heavyweight Champion Roman Reigns. It's not the first time we've seen a champion lose his belt from an injury, come back, and claim that he wants it. I do not anticipate any change. Look for Seth Rollins to lose this match to Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns will retain the championship. Seth does not have enough momentum coming back at this point to warrant a title run. He's going to have to prove himself again in the eyes of the WWE. This is the match that was expected upon Seth Rollins' return. And but he will not win the WWE Championship. Look for Roman Reigns to retain.
I agree with you, but Romans will retain for the wrong reason. The reason being that Vince McMahon is a blithering lunatic at this point. Seth Rollins, why should I hate Seth Rollins? And here's something WWE needs to stop doing. You and I have gone on and on about Kevin Owens, about how we like him and we hate him. And we like him because they show those video packages of Kevin Owens with, you know, his little boy. And, you know, his little boy's marking out because he's wrestling John Cena. I'm like, why should I hate Kevin Owens? I saw that Comic-Con thing with Seth Rollins. And what an absolute class act. Gentleman all the way. Absolutely just great guy. And my question is, going into this match, after seeing that, why do I hate Seth Rollins? I have no reason to hate him. Okay, he said, oh, I ripped up all your get well wishes. Bull.
Nice try. Nobody bought it.
Right.
People love you, Seth, and you're going against another heel champion. You should really be a face on this. You do a lot better.
Wait a minute, I love you. So you consider Roman Reigns a heel champion?
He's a heel. We've got nothing but heel champions in the WWE right now. This is Roman Reigns is a failed face champion. He might as well be a heel. He's acting like a heel. He's trying to be a tweener like Steve Austin. It's not working for him. But this is not the time to get the belt off, and we're stuck with this man as the champion until the brand split, and we'll go from there. Money, go ahead, real quick.
I'm sorry, bro. I'll agree with you. But like you said, money in the – we need to get to the big elephant in the room. And for once, it's not me.
Yeah, Cesaro taking on Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Alberto Del Rio, Dean Ambrose, and Chris Jericho. The winner gets the Money in the Bank contract, basically guarantees himself a WWE World Heavyweight Championship run. I am torn between two. I am torn between Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. I could see Chris Jericho winning.
No.
Because he is running out of things to do. He's running out of time. Give him one last shot or take Kevin Owens, who has a tremendous amount of momentum, who Vince McMahon actually likes, and who could be one of the best cash-ins for the championship. The more I think about it, the more I like Kevin Owens winning this match.
Unless there's a surprise entrant, which I'm not going to. You know what? I'm looking forward to this pay-per-view. I really am. Unless there's a surprise entrant, the only person I can see getting this is Kevin Owens because he's the guy. And here's the thing with Money in the Bank. 365 days. You've got a year to build a character because
he's going to walk around with that case and he'll be the man.
That's it. No, he'll be despised and annoying and sickening. He's going to be the guy who's going to come out there every week with the briefcase and just stare at the champion or go on commentary. Or you do the old crap that Seth Rollins did. He goes to cash in, realizes the champ is still too strong, isn't knocked out enough, and takes the briefcase back and walks away. Boo! Owens is the only person who I can see in this match, with the exception, like I said, if there's a surprise entrant, Chris Jericho, his time has come and gone. It does nothing for me, for Jericho to have that briefcase. Alberto Del Rio, again, same thing. Sami Zayn, I love Sami. Sami is brilliant. He is great, but he's not ready for this yet. Dean Ambrose, maybe, but they've screwed him over so much. Now, I would not have an issue, even though I want Owens to win the briefcase, but if Cesaro won it, I'd be cool. I could even see that in a certain way. Here's this killer. Here's this animal, this beast, this monster, which Cesaro is, winning that briefcase and just, man, have him hang out in the bleachers like Sting with that briefcase and his stupid suit, looking at the champ and being a threat, because we all know Cesaro is a beast and a monster. I could see Cesaro holding it, but it'll never happen. My official pick, I'll go with Andy, Kevin Owens, Cesaro, my second pick. The rest guys, worthless.
Okay. That's it, ladies and gentlemen, your money in the bank. And that's it for another Rewind. We're over. We're out of here. Thank you so much for joining us wherever you happen to be joining us from tonight. Of course, you can check us out online on the Facebook. Tony Gett does a great job keeping that updated. And, of course, you can also send us emails, prowrestlingrewind@yahoo.com. So 7 days, T, we'll come back. We'll analyze Money in the Bank. We'll get the fallout from Raw. We'll get that on there, too, and so much more. You have a great week, my friend.
We're back, baby. You know what? I hate WWE. I hate them with a passion, because they kind of, just when we thought we, I wish you had this sounder, just when you thought we were out, they pulled us back in. Money in the Bank this Sunday. Check it out. The brand split coming up. I'm a little bit excited.
So am I. Let's see where it goes. 7 days from now, ladies and gentlemen, remember, boys and girls, please, take care of the energy inside yourselves. After all, that's where your true power lies. And God of radio willing, and if the higher power lets me, we'll be back to play with y'all again next week. It is the Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS and the PIB Radio Network.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
A song to you about a place you might live. In case you don't understand, it's called New Jack City. In case you still don't understand, I brought along the Persian troops to kick the ballistics. Come on.
For love of mud, we'll steal from that world.
power will follow. Never show a sign of being weak or face defeat at your feet. You drop the ball, the pass is incomplete. Your voice still got the goal to try to rule, but you fail Luke Jack school, and that ain't cool. It's kind of sad to see a brother go down, but kind of funny, because you was living for the money.